Good morning. 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. It's sunny outside, but it's hot. It's going to be terribly, awfully, brutally hot again today. We're under heat advisory, so please be careful. Please don't go out and do yard work at 2 o'clock this afternoon, okay? Just be smart in dealing with this. It's life-threatening heat, okay? Please, please, please be careful. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. And like I will say to his face, and when he's not around as well, my gold standard for PIOs, he really, really, really does his job outstandingly well. Candy's clapping in the background. Mike, welcome back. I know you love taking a compliment. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, and good morning to you, Candy. I hear you back there.
Good morning. We really do appreciate you. You are the gold standard. That's absolutely.
Absolutely. Obviously, the kind of the big story over the last week has been what just happened yesterday, as we had this shooting in Cantonment on Durant Street, which is, you know, well up there, and kind of in a relatively affluent part of the new build kind of areas of north Escambia County. Tell us what happened here. How did a PPD officer get into something like this up in Cantonment?
Yeah, that's a big question, and I'm ready to answer that. So yesterday afternoon, there was a traffic crash, a hit and run in downtown Pensacola. The investigating officer got information on the vehicle that left the scene. And typically, and I'm not saying that's what happened in this situation, but typically that comes from a witness that may have gotten a license plate number. So the officer can run that tag and find out where that tag comes from and take his investigation from that point. So the information the officer got led him to Durant Lane in Cantonment. Now, we have an agreement with the Sheriff's Department. If we're investigating an incident in the county, that we will contact them and let them know where we're going. And most of the time, they're going to send a deputy out there with us. So that is very, very common.
And by the way, just to pause there for a second. So you have a reciprocity agreement, which is very common among agencies like yours and Escambia County. It's a good relationship between the two agencies. You can traverse into the county, certainly during an active incident, but also during an investigation. But the protocol is you let them know and they'll usually join you out there. Is that right?
Absolutely. We're not going to go out there without letting them know what we're doing.
Got it. Go ahead.
So the officer goes to the address on Durant Lane, and he's confronted by a male. Now, we don't know if this male was involved in the hit and run or not. We just know that he was confronted by a male, and words were exchanged, which turned into a fight. And the officer, during that fight, drew his weapon and fired shots. So that hit the suspect, and the suspect died on the scene. There's a lot of questions. The investigation is being done by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The state attorney's office was also on scene, which is all protocol. So there's still questions to be answered, and we will give those answers to the public as soon as the investigation is complete. We never want to jeopardize an investigation. So let's let it run its course, and then we will be getting back with everyone with the final results.
And I understand that there may be questions I would ask that you can't answer at this point because of the ongoing investigation. But I think the most natural one that people would ask is, how does a verbal discussion become a fight, become a threat to life and limb of danger to justify using a gun, as opposed to, for example, using a taser? But, you know, how does it escalate to that point that would become justification for shooting a weapon?
Well, again, we don't know exactly what happened. That's under investigation. But what I can tell you is that an officer can go from 0 to 100, from just total relaxation to firing his weapon and trying to save his life or someone else's in a half a second.
Okay.
You got to remember that we never know what's coming next. And officers have been shot while they're sitting in their cruisers at red lights and never saw it coming.
Sure.
So, yes, we do have situations to where we go in. We know it's going to be a dangerous situation. You know, that's why we call the SWAT team and things like that. But also, things can happen very quickly, and we just don't see that coming.
Just one other quick thing is, I think it blinked with my ears, but did you say that there was a deputy on scene at the time, or there was not yet an Escambia County Sheriff's Officer on scene at the time this happened?
I haven't confirmed whether a deputy was there or not. I know they got there very quickly. Once the shots were fired, but I have not confirmed whether they were on the scene yet or not.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And, you know, as with all these things, we'll get more details eventually when the investigation is done. I assume in the meantime, the PPD officer is on leave pending whatever investigation takes place internally.
Yeah, absolutely. First thing, he was taken to the hospital. There were some minor injuries to him, and he has been placed on administrative leave, which is protocol, until the investigation is complete.
And that's, by the way, that's another important note is, you know, officers get hurt all the time. We talk about this a bunch, but it's never not worth remembering that officers get hurt in the job. I mean, fighting isn't, you know, cost-free. And so whatever else happened, we certainly hope that the officer comes out of this okay as well. And you said it, not life-threatening injuries, so that we know that's the case. 7:45 on News Radio 92.3. We're talking to Mike Wood, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy here with traffic on the fives.
Detroit, Johnson, and Olive not showing any delays. Fairfield not showing any problems now either. All clear from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. If you have if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, and informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood, the PIO for the PPD. Sorry about the acronyms, but you know what they mean. The big success, another big success for the Manna Donut Strike, right?
Yeah, 30,000 meals, and that's something that we look forward to participating in every year with other agencies. And, you know, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but I sure would like to see when the officers are allowed to break their ban on donuts, that maybe, and I hope he doesn't get upset with me, maybe the chief of police or somebody else has to go on top of either Dunkin' or Krispy Kreme and take the first bite out of a donut from the roof to let us all know that the goal has been reached and we can now have donuts.
Yeah, to symbolically lead from above and to show us all the way forward by consuming their own donuts.
I see a new promotion director for ADX Communications.
Mike, just kidding, Mike. Sure, most definitely.
That's a great idea.
That's fantastic. One of the other things I wanted to, it's been a story, but you know, we don't think as much about it, but you know, the canine officers dealing with this heat, it's a big deal for them. It's a big deal for everybody dealing with the heat. But one thing that came up, I think you had made a comment about this in one of the interviews, maybe you did with Channel 3, is that it is okay with the permission of the canine officer's handler to approach the dog. I had always been under the impression, I mean, and not in the car, obviously, because that's their turf, but I had always been under the impression that just leave the dogs alone. You know, they're working dogs. Don't bother them. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, that was our canine supervisor, Sergeant James Parsons, who did the interview, and he had a good point. You know, these canines are just like people. They all have different personalities. Mm-hmm. And before anybody approaches a canine to touch it, to pet it, you know, even though the intention is good, you need to check with the handler to see if that particular dog is okay with that.
All right. Well, that was, you know, always good information. I'm always learning something in these situations. Is Deputy Chief Kevin Christman handling it okay that they didn't name any of the street sweepers, Kevin?
I don't think so. I haven't seen him in the past couple of days. So I need to get with him and check on him today. I'll do that as soon as I get in. But yeah, Kevin was a popular option. I was a Kevin fan, not because of the deputy chief, because I just thought it was a cool name. There's lots of cool Kevins out there.
Just Kevin. That's a funny alternative. All right. We always like to end with a myth or a, did you know, what's your myth for us this week, Mike?
Well, we all know that House Bill 543, which is Florida's permitless constitutional carry law, goes into effect on Saturday. I believe that's July the 1st is Saturday. And the myth is that the concealed permits are going away, and that's simply not true. The Florida Department of Agriculture will continue to maintain the program and issue new permits. The permits still have benefits, including reciprocity in other states that recognize Florida's permits and the ability to purchase and take delivery of the firearm on the same day in lieu of the 3-day waiting period. So getting that permit still has its perks.
Yeah, the permits still exist. They are still valid. They are certainly useful for reciprocity in other states that don't also have permitless concealed carry. And as you say, you can walk out of the store with a gun because you've already had all the background check stuff verified if you have one of those permits. I have one, and those are some of the benefits of it. I did want to ask you, though, what sort of enforcement approach, if at all, have you guys adopted at PPD for when this change takes place on Saturday?
Well, I mean, the law is the law. We're going to go by that. There are some unanswered questions on certain circumstances that we're just going to have to get an opinion, from the state attorney and see how it goes. If there's a question, then it's better to not arrest than arrest and be in the wrong. So it's new to us, and we will deal with it as it comes. But the you know, the basic law that you can carry now without the permit is something that's cut and dry. We'll just have to see what happens from there with different situations.
My suspicion is, and I'm probably going to spend a bunch of time tomorrow talking about the details here, but my suspicion is that people are going to misunderstand what this law actually allows them to do. And there are going to be people who try to open carry, which is not legal. There are going to be people who are not allowed to concealed carry because maybe they have DUIs, or maybe they have an order of protection against them, or maybe they've had a gun charge against them in the past, or they're inebriated. You know, I was reading through the statute yesterday and, because there's all these rules, right? And, you know, for example, this doesn't allow you to carry into the meeting chamber of the city council or the county commission. That's still prohibited. And you can't be inebriated and use a firearm in the state of Florida. So you can't carry concealed when you've had inebriation charges against you, public intoxication, unless you're defending your own home, which is different. But like, these are all details that I think most people who have not had to get a permit have never bothered to read the law. And even those who have may not have read it very much. And so I think a lot of people are just going to not realize that they're still not allowed to carry, and then they're going to carry and they're going to get into trouble. Is that your suspicion too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people have to understand that you still have to produce an identification. You have to have one and produce it upon the demand of any law enforcement officer that still exists. And also, private property and business owners continue to have the right to prohibit people from carrying concealed weapons on their property. So you have to remember that, too. That doesn't give you the right to just do it wherever you want to. So you're correct on that.
Yeah, and particularly the locations that are prohibited. There's a long list of prohibited locations, like schools, like police departments and sheriff substations, like courthouses, unless you're a judge. And, you know, I think people are going to run afoul of this. And bars, you know, you can take it into a restaurant, but if the primary source of revenue in an establishment is alcohol, you're not allowed to carry concealed in that establishment. And I just know. I know people, and I know people, but I think open carry is going to be the one that people are going to find out to their disadvantage that, oh, yeah, that's not legal. No, that's not legal yet. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for what you do. Thanks for joining us and keeping us informed and keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. 7:50.